this might take a while, what I'm about to share with you. I will try to not let it take too much time. I'm going to give you instructions for 2025, but the instructions are only three. Just three. How many? Three. But before I give you the instructions, I'll tell you what the Lord gave me for myself. And if you want to tap into it, tap into it. And then what he gave me for the church. On Saturday, 16th November, 2024, at 7:30 p.m. So I decided to journal it because everything God says to me is very important and very precious. And I encourage you also, learn to journal, okay? Journal. As God speaks to you or shows you something, or you read your Bible, something comes alive, journal it. Don't just assume everything is in my head. A short pencil is better than a long memory. If I didn't write this down immediately that evening, I would not have something to read to you today. At about 7:30 p.m., Saturday, 16th November, 2024, the Lord ministered to me, now about 2025. In fact, those were the opening words. He just said to me, now about 2025. You will see graces. A lot of graces manifest. My grace and peace will indeed be multiplied unto you in every way for the fulfillment of my call upon your life and those who co-labor with you. Then he said, move on, move in, move up. I believe everybody can make do with this. Move on, move in, move up. Walk in all-round dominion and soar high on the wings of my grace. Move on, move in, move up. Walk in all-round dominion and soar high on the wings of my grace. Then he said to me, tune in more to the precious Holy Spirit, and you will hear more. And I'm saying that to you as well. Tune in more to the channel of the Holy Spirit, and you will hear more instructions. Now concerning the expression house, and these were the words. He said there will be more manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As the youth yield more to his promptings. So you need to yield more to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And what we will see in our meetings, in our gatherings, will be more manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said there will be manifestation of uncommon church growth strategies. As well as business growth strategies and all-round growth strategies. God said he's going to release strategies to us for church growth, and those of you in business, for business growth, and those of you in career and who are students, he said all-round growth strategies. In other words, 2025 is going to be a year of growth. Okay, three people said amen. Amen. Growth is exciting. If you don't grow, you will groan. If you don't grow, people will leave you where you are and move ahead. It is not exciting for your mates to be going very far ahead of you and you seem to be on the spot. I remember when Toby Loba and Oba Lulua Fatukun were little boys in this church, this same auditorium. Adult church was here. They would run up there after service. They would start beating the drums, run around. They had so much energy, those boys. I said, you guys, you don't even care if you get injured. No, we don't get injured. Energy, so much energy. Today, if I stand, they were like this, small boys like this. If I stand between the two of them now, they would dwarf me. growth. Growth is exciting. If as a parent, you have a child, your child is 6 months, and then turns 1 year, and then turns 5 years, but the size of the five-year-old is like the size of a five-month-old. Will that excite you? Come on, talk to me. When the child is not growing, that child becomes a source of concern to the parents. At 15, they are still wearing diapers for you. At 15,
mommy, I want Seilak. Seilak.
At 15, where you should be breaking bones, where you should be going to the market to come and cook for the family. At 15.
Please make pap for me, pap.
At 15. The moment you turn 18, your parents throw the keys to you. They throw car keys. Yeah, go to Mokala Market, go and buy chicken. You are the one to buy everything we need for the weekend. And gladly, at that age, you like to drive. Get into the car. From there, you go to Palms Mall. You do some grocery shopping. They can send you on errands because now you have grown. Growth is exciting. If you are not growing in your walk with God, it does not excite God and it doesn't bring blessings to your life. Excuse me. If you are not growing as a business person, if your customer or client base is not increasing, it doesn't bring excitement. In fact, you start thinking of closing down that business. Maybe that's not the business for you. And then you want to do something else. Listen to me. It is not the kind of business. It is not the kind of profession you belong to. In Proverbs 10:22, the Bible says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrows with it." As the blessing comes on what you do may be music. There are people who are multi-millionaires from music. Legit. And today, we even have streaming platforms. People are making money from streaming platforms. I have a protege who is a lawyer in Lagos. He's a music lawyer. I didn't know such existed before. As the years are advancing, technology is also advancing. People are making money in unconventional ways. That's why I keep charging you in this church. You can't stay on the same spot. Move up. Move to the next level. No matter what you do, even if you're a makeup artist, don't do it like the others. Don't do it like the person you learned from. Step up higher than them. See how to infuse technology into what you do. Today, people sit in the comfort of their homes, they write books, and they're making money from writing books. One of our sisters in this church told me, she knows a man, I don't know whether it's a man or woman, knows someone that earns as much as $40,000 monthly on books. Writing books. Who would ever think that would be possible? Wake up. Don't just be doing the same thing. To do the same thing year in, year out, and expect a different result is equal to madness. My father-in-law has said that again and again. If you want a different result, change your strategy. You can be doing the same thing, but do it differently. Are you getting what I'm saying? So ask questions. Ask God. Then get mentors. Ask them. Those who are doing what you want to do, who are already successful, what is the way? Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 15 says, "The labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they know not how to go to the city." They don't know how. If you have never applied for a visa to go to the UK before, ask someone who has been there or ask someone who knows how to do it. Don't just assume. And then you go online, you fill the form on gov.uk and you mess yourself up. They will keep refusing you. Common sense, ask. You don't know. everything, ask. Don't be too big to ask questions. As we go into 2025. In Acts 2:37, a question came. The Bible said they were pricked in their heart. And they screamed, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" When they had this thing, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They asked questions. What shall we do? Because there's something to do. You're a fashion designer. Scale up. Scale up. This year, as we move into 2025, you have only 10 customers. How can I have 10 times 10 to become 100? Lord, I want to increase my tithe. Make it a goal. Intentionally, I increased my offering not too long ago. But if nothing is coming in and you increase your offering, God is not a magician. God will not open windows of heaven and throw you money. He will bless what you do. That's why there's no room for laziness in Christendom. When you hear lazy Christians, some Christians are lazy. No, you can't be a Christian and be lazy. You are just lazy. You are not a Christian. My mother told me, "Ole ole shegbagbo," a lazy person can be a Christian. That's why not everybody reads their Bible. Not everybody prays. Because it's hard work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Growth will stretch you. Growth will stretch you. Get ready for stretching in 2025. But it is the kind of stretching that will bring satisfying results. When you are putting your best and then university now awards you first class, they are not just awarding you. That day, they are showing publicly what you have done privately. And if you go to school to go and play, it will show on the day of your graduation. You'll be among the people that came to play. Life is not a play field. Nobody taught me these things. God taught me. And I thank God he taught me early to be serious with my life. To be serious with my life. To be focused. Young guys, don't give your strength to women. They say, "Because I'm a fine boy, they're always flocking around me. This one, you sleep with her. That one, you sleep with her. Because they like me." You are digging. You are digging a grave you don't want to enter. There are certain things that are not for kings. Give me Proverbs 31. And give me from verse 1. KJV. Quickly. The words of King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him. And I'm talking to you young men now. Listen to me. All the fine boys. You know I'm a fine boy. Listen. "What, my son? What? The son of my womb?" The mother was shouting, "What? And what? The son of my vows?" Live a life like you are a son of somebody's vows to God. Live like there's a prophecy over your life because there is one. You're a man on a mission. You are not another guy on the streets. "Give not your strength unto women." A woman wrote this. A woman said to her son, I'm a woman and I'm telling you, don't give your strength to women. And this is applicable to ladies also. Don't give your strength to men. They will use your body. They will abuse you. They will misuse you. And when they are done, they will dump you in a pedal bin. Keep your dignity. Keep your dignity. Let them say anything they like. You are too classy. You are too... Thank you. I'm not cheap. And I'm not available for use. "Give not your strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Fornication destroys kings and destroys queens. It will distort your thoughts. It will distort the plans of your life. Avoid it at whatever cost. Somebody's giving you free money. Stop taking free money. Especially when you know this is leading somewhere. Make God your source. I was talking to a lady. She said, "You say I should not do it again. So what will I do? How will I get money?" I said, "You have a job. You're a fashion designer." She said, "This thing is chopping my fingers." I said, "Let it chop your fingers and trust God to so bless you. You will employ people under you. You take the job, they do the work. How about that? God has 1,000,000,001 ways of blessing you. Say, but you know, there's nothing like free money. You know, this money that comes from men. I said, don't worry. 20 years from now, you will not like your body. You will so smell because there are all kinds of deposits in you. This body will not look the same in 10 years from today. How you use yourself, you will find it. That's why two ladies can stand the same age. One is looking 30, the other is looking 50. Same age. How have you used yourself? The same with guys. When some of you stand with your mates, they will think they're your grandfather. The way you use yourself. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings. Number two, after he spoke about fornication, then she now spoke about drinking wine, alcohol. Alcohol is like a norm now. Even in Christian circles, I've attended Christian weddings. Oh my God. Pastor's children. They do reception. After reception, they say everybody should go. They have after party where they have Dorime. And then they start sharing the red cups. Christian, born again, tongue talking. Pastor, this is just social drinking, you know. God won't be angry. I mean, will I lose my salvation? You won't lose your salvation by drinking one cup of wine. No, I won't preach that. I won't say, No, the reason people will not make heaven is that they have denied Christ. But you see, that one cup you have taken will lead you to another cup. And it will lead you to another cup. Another time. It might not be at the same time. Another time. It will lead you. It's going to be a build-up. It's a build-up. And you see, backsliding is a gradual process. One step at a time. You think the devil is not smart? Uh-uh. And then when you drink and drink and drink, then your imagination will get distorted. You start seeing strange women. Then after a while, your orientation starts changing. After all, maybe all those things they even taught us in Potter's Planet Expression House. Maybe that's calm self, Jerry. Almost. Maybe we don't live life now. Huh? We know they die now. Baba. We go to club. We even see Pastor Steve at the club, right? A backslider at heart is full of his own ways. When your heart departs from the Lord, you won't know it. The Bible says, and Samson rose up again as at other times. But he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He didn't know. You don't want to keep trying one cup after another until you walk yourself into destruction. It's a gradual thing. So the best is to stay away. Stay uncontaminated. Why is it not for kings to drink wine? Why is it wrong? Is it not for princes, strong drink? Why? Next verse. Lest they drink. This is the reason. Lest they drink and forget the law. So you can drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. That's the power of alcohol. Give strong drink, therefore, unto him that is ready to perish. Anybody ready to perish? They didn't come to church today. Nobody's going to perish in this church. Can I have an amen? He said, those are the people to give strong drink to. Those who are ready to, they want to perish, so give them. Because it's the number one step to perishing. It will help to catalyze or the journey, to serve as a catalyst. And wine unto those that be of heavy heart. Are you of heavy heart? Next verse. Is there a next verse, or that's the last? Open your mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Giving further instructions to the king. Speak for the oppressed. Don't get carried away into this so you can stay focused. Focus is key in 2025. I beg you, church, if you want your life to be 10 times better than what it is now, today being the 28th, is it? On 29th? The 29th of December 2024. By 29th December 2025, your life can be 10 times better. It can be 30 times better. It can be 100 times better. So, whichever you choose, it can be 1,000 times better. Are you getting what I'm saying? Focus, focus is key. Focus is needed. I beg you. What are the areas of my topmost priority next year, therefore? These are the things to expect. Number one, as we begin in January, we start with capacity building. This is in fulfillment of the prophetic word that God has given. Capacity building is important. I'm already preaching. As I'm saying this, just if you want to write, you can write. If you want to listen, just listen. All right? I'll give you three instructions, but let me run through these 5 points. Topmost on our priority list next year, and these ones you can hold me accountable for. This one, say, Pastor, you spoke about capacity building. We've not started though, so you can hold me accountable. I hope my mic is working. Capacity building. Now, we are working in dominion. The focus for next year is still dominion, all right? Spirit, soul, and body. But for you to walk in dominion, you need to build capacity. Build capacity. How much of God you will encounter or you will experience and enjoy will depend on your capacity. A spoon has a capacity. When you want to feed a baby, you don't feed a day old baby with this kind of bottle. Am I right? You put milk there, all right, and then feed with this kind of bottle, you will kill the child. The child doesn't have the capacity for this bottle yet. So they start with a teaspoon, and then they give them breast milk, and then small spoon, and then small feeding bottle. But the capacity of a small feeding bottle will not take care of your thirst as an adult. You need something like this. This has a higher capacity. At some point, you need more water. You want something bigger than this bottle, right? Maybe a 50 cl capacity. Now, if you want to take your bath, will a 50 cl capacity be enough to have your bath as an adult? Come on, talk to me, church. How about 100 cl? How about 200 cl? That will barely just wash your face, right? So you now need something like a bucket. If you are not taking your bath under a shower, a bucket has its own capacity. But if three of you want to have your bath, will one bucket be enough for three people? Even for two people, will it be enough? No. Now you move to what is called a barrel or a bath that can take care of 3 to 4 individuals. But now there are about 4 families that want to have their bath. If we have just one bath or one barrel, will that go around 4 families? So they need something like a drum, right? Now, a drum can take care of 4 or 5 families. But do you think that a drum can take care of about 10 families on the streets? They would die of thirst. So you have GP tanks in each house. A kettle has its own capacity. A cup has its own capacity. Now a GP tank has its own capacity. Then a water tank, mobile water tank, has its own capacity. If your capacity, spiritually, is like a cup, and you're asking God for an anointing that runs over, you want to be maybe a powerful tool in the hands of God, maybe in the industry, your industry, you want to speak for God, you want to be on top of everybody, you don't want to join a cult, and you want to be ahead of everybody, which is fine, it's available in Christ. You need more than that little capacity that you are carrying around. You can't be reading one chapter of the Bible every day. Some of you should have left that level 5 years ago. Some of you are still praying 5 minutes in tongues every day. 5 minutes. I understand those who are newborn babes spiritually. They just gave their life to Christ last week. I understand. Some of you have been born again since only God knows when. You still don't have a prayer life. I mean consistent prayer life. I mean 5 a.m. every day or 6 a.m. every day or 7 a.m. every day or 3 p.m. every day, whatever time you choose between you and God. no consistent prayer life, you can't afford that in 2025. The challenges of our days are enormous. And there are no challenges only facing Nigeria. It's on a global scale. Everywhere people are complaining. In the UK, in the US, in Canada. Somebody sent us a video on the platform. A family decided to do giveaway in Canada. They were expecting 2,000. 7,000 showed up. That's a country where you wouldn't think anybody would need groceries or need fruit. They turned back about 3,000. People stayed for about 3 hours in the rain to get free stuff. Because they have a lot of migrants there now. So the challenges are global. But the just shall live by his faith. No matter what it looks like all over the world, you will not just survive, you will thrive. Oh, Lord, three people said amen. Amen. I need more people that will thrive in this house. Amen. I mean, you will do excellently well. Amen. So well that your tithe will even intimidate you. Amen. Some of you have never paid a millionaire tithe before. 1 million naira. If I say you pay 1 million naira, 1 million. I've never ever seen it before in my life. It will be a tithe very soon. When I desired it, I didn't have it. That one day I will give 1 million to the church. Years ago, I just wrote it in my checkbook. But it has happened. And not once. To the glory of God. A change of mindset is very important. How you think. That 57 million we want to use for this building now, we don't have 57 kobo yet. But in the realm of the spirit, we already have more than enough. We already have more than 100 million naira. Can I have an amen? Amen? And the money will come. Amen? Amen? Increase your capacity also in giving. These are the areas I will show you next year. Prayer, number one. Prayer must be the foundation. Increase your capacity. Some of you can't pray 25 minutes. You'll be breathing hard. Mami hele hele. 25 minutes of praying in tongues. We do 2 hours every Monday, 3 to 5. Some of you have never mistakenly attended. I was blessed when I saw Toby Fatoku. He's my boy. He came when he came back from England that last year, and he joined us. 2 hours. Some people came like this. They didn't come again. Said, this man will kill us. He will kill somebody. You won't die. Praying the Holy Ghost for 2 hours. You know what will happen? You'll be built up. Do it. That's how we gain stamina. If you don't exercise, you'll not be fit. You might be skillful as a footballer, but you'll not be fit. You will play 15 minutes, they will replace you. Those of you that are footballers, you know what I'm saying. Footballing is not just about I can dribble, I can score goal. No! Stamina is important. How many players play full match? Some can play it. They have the stamina. Some will be begging before the end of first half. They'll be waving at the coach. Replace me. I've been there before. I know you'll be breathing from the mouth. That's why before they play, you see them, they jog, they exercise. All those see Ronaldo and the rest of them that people are celebrating today because they have built capacity. In winter, some of them will get in the bathtub. They will have cold, ice cubes in the bathtub. They'll be there for an appreciable length of time. Then get up and go and exercise. And then come back into the ice. In winter. Have you experienced winter before? You know Amatan? Amatan times 100. When is Amatan like this? Some people don't step out again to exercise. Because, yeah, it's cold this morning. I can't kill myself. I can't come and go and die. Me, lewa, lo, ku. So, you cover yourself with your duvet. God knows I will exercise tomorrow. I will go to gym tomorrow. Because it's cold this morning. Inside that cold is when you need to get out. When people do that, you know what they are doing? They are stretching themselves. They are enlarging their capacity. They are enlarging their capacity. I went to Milton Keynes during winter last year. My cousin's son, a footballer, a young guy, I saw him on the field playing in the cold. My cousin said that's how they train them. Because you can go and play in any part of the world at any time. If it's cold, will you say you are not playing? When you know how much is coming in from that football. Training. Training. Capacity building is about training. And we'll do a lot of that next year. Some of you, we need to help you with your oral English. It's part of it. Delivery. Some of you, to be in the area of how you look. Some people don't know how to dress up. We'll help you. Everything next year will be spirit, soul, and body. We'll get some experts who also come and train us in certain areas. But prayer must be the foundation. I'll tell you about giving. I'll tell you about faith. I'll do some series on faith, on hope, and love. Faith works by love. On mind renewal, which we started last year. We'll continue. Fruit of the Spirit, which is very important. Many are coveting the gift, but they don't want the fruit of the Spirit. You will learn patience, long-suffering. They are part of fruit of the Spirit. Skill acquisition and excellence. Let me talk a minute on this one. Skill acquisition and excellence. The fact that you are born again does not mean you should not acquire skills. Are you getting what I'm saying? God will bless you through your skills. In Matthew 25, 21, Jesus said, and then he will say to that, Matthew 25, 21. Please display it quickly if you are displaying it. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Before he said enter, he said, well done, thou good. We emphasize faithful a lot. Faithful servant. But Jesus said, good. Good and faithful. Good. You think, oh, he's a good man. That's not what I'm talking about. Good in terms of being good at what you do. Being skillful. If you play the drums, be a skillful player. If you play the drums, but you don't know how to play it, you know, we'll just be managing you. As a church, we manage, but we'll not be happy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Church, are you getting what I'm saying? Does it matter that somebody is showing up every time to do the same thing they are doing, even though it's a bad job they are doing? Can you give your money to someone that does not know how to paint a house, and you pay him money, and he comes and he paints rubbish? What is this now? I'm still trying. Can you fly an airplane, and before the plane takes off, the pilot announces, well, I'm a student in aviation school. I just enrolled yesterday. As a matter of fact, this is my first flight. Please, let's learn together. In case there's anybody on board who knows how to fly, can you join me in the cockpit, and then you can show me the way we can learn together? And you're going to England, 6 hours. Will you not quickly say, excuse me, please, wait. Can you please open the door? Good and faithful. Even in preaching, those of you that are ministers, listen to me. Good and faithful. Be skillful. There's a way to do it. Music. We won't just take mediocrity. In 2025, God doesn't want mediocrity. God wants us to step up into excellence, good and faithful. You'd have taken a song, and we're very high in the spirit. Then you now introduce one other song. And that song will bring everything down. Zah! And everybody will say, oh, kilele, iru kilele, bulatuwa jasibai. The same thing with drama. Drama ministry. We all need to be good. Be skillful. Be skillful. One good play acted skillfully can turn lives around. We've seen that happen in the Expression House. Somebody played the role of Job. Ayo, same Ayo, my regular customer, my boy. And he played it so well. People were crying in the audience. I didn't know they were crying. The people that cried told me later. One of them rededicated her life to Christ, still in Christ today. She's in London, in our church in London, Revival House, the Stone Church. Rededicated her life to Christ in our service at Ablaze about two, three years ago. Because somebody entered character and played it well. That's what God wants. Not anything goes with God.
If you are ushering usher well, if you are in protocol well, you are leading prayer, lead prayer well. Don't come and lead prayer, read the whole scripture and preach out of 15 minutes prayer, 7 minutes talk. No! Some people are leading prayer and they are talking. When we want to pray, let us pray. You're not praying, though. You're not praying, though. And you think that that's the way to pray, Abby? You think God will not accept it? You think God... Let me tell you, when I was coming, prayer started, though. When I was coming today, I now saw somebody. He had a car accident. Maybe he did not pray. Maybe he did not pray before leaving home. You better pray. Oh, lepatewo. Oh, tunle kori. Oh, one shesi mesi mebi yalai mori. And they call that a praise song in some churches. Are you praising God? You're abusing somebody. Oh, lepatewo. Oh, tunle kori. Oh, one shesi mesi mebi yalai mori. In English means you can't clap. You can't sing. You're now doing smesme. I don't know how to say smesme. You're not doing smesme like an ungrateful person. Oh, sluggish. You're not acting. This is smesme sluggish. You're not acting sluggishly like someone that is ungrateful. Is that supposed to qualify for a praise worship song? And I'm telling you, in churches where they sing it, people are sweating. Only matter oh, too late calling. Ah, oh, what's this? Somebody's been. Do you think that is acceptable to God? You are God's accountant general. You know people that are owing God. Are we praising God? That's what we must think about our songs. Look at the lyrics. Lyrics. Not just melody. Lyrics. We have a lot to do, 2025. But I can tell you something. We have a lot to benefit from the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number two, gifts of the Holy Spirit. I would really teach on that. Number three, soul winning. Jesus is the light of the world. We need to show the world Jesus. John 8:12, John 9:1-5, Proverbs 11:30, Daniel 12:3. We must show, not just by what we say, but also by how we live our lives. Don't live as a cantankerous person at home or in the place of work. Nobody can talk to you. You always fight. How do you preach Christ? The day you now want to preach Christ, you'll greet everybody. You'll be nice. Do you realize that when we go out for float and want to distribute flyers, we are the nicest? Hello? Can we be real? You know we are the nicest. Nicest people. Because we want to give them flyers to come to our church or come to our program. Can we be like that every day? Somebody want to give a flyer to you, play with their kids. Am I right? Hey, how are you? Oh, fine boy. Hello, my good afternoon, ma. So we want to invite you to our program. You are greeting the boy because you want to invite the mom. How about on other days? Why don't step on me? Oh, excuse me. Because I want to do your mom a favor by buying something from our shop. Can we be Christians every day? Soul winning. Some of you guys, you don't talk much, but by the way you live your life, somebody will come to you and say, oh boy, there's something different about you. In this whole department, everybody's agitated. When there's problem like this, you are just cool. Why? What's in the soap? I tell them, man, it's Jesus. You don't even look like a Jesus boy. Well, whatever you mean by that, but I can tell you that's my secret. I read my Bible, I pray, I talk to him. We have a fellowship ongoing every day. Omo, give me that Jesus. Cut that small soap for me. And you cut Jesus for them. Amen? There's no soap, it's Jesus. Number four, I'll teach on great grace. Acts 4:33 says, great grace was upon them. And number five, which is going to be our number fifth cardinal point for 2025, we are going to do a lot of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the sound of heaven. Revelation 4:1-11. Every month, we'll take our thanksgiving more seriously. The beginning of the month, we have our communion service and healing service. We take it very seriously. You know anybody that needs healing, bring them to that service. And they can come to any of the services anyway. The last Sunday of every month, our thanksgiving will be proper, proper thanksgiving. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Did you enjoy last Sunday? He was like, we shouldn't even stop. We're going to do more. Because God will give us more reasons to give him thanks. Now, let me go to the instructions and then I will close. I'm sorry I've taken so much time, but I'm not sorry because that's what the Lord put in my heart to give to you. Now, these are the instructions, three of them. Why are instructions very important? God said in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide you with my eyes. Thank you, media. You're doing a good job. Write down this scripture, everybody. God said, I will instruct you. I will instruct you. Now, I want you to say, Lord, I'm open to your instructions. Why is it important to be instructed? Proverbs 9:9. It says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. I want you to be wiser. God wants us to be wiser. Let's not keep doing business the same way we've been doing it. No, it's not going to be business as usual. 2025 will be an exceptional year for us all in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 30 and verse 21, God likes to give instructions. He said, your ears shall hear a word behind you, which saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Why is that important? Because through the voice of the Lord that you hear, shall the Assyrian be beaten down. Same chapter, verses 29 to 31. Isaiah 30. Through the voice of the Lord, every opposition will be beaten down before you in 2025. Amen. Lord, five people said amen. Amen. 15 said amen. Amen. I mean every opposition will be beaten down before you in 2025. Nobody will be able to withstand you or stand against you in the name of Jesus. How will that happen? Through the voice of the Lord. Because you will hear that voice and you will repeat what you have heard and oppositions will crumble. How powerful is the voice of the Lord? Read Psalm 29 when you get home from verse 1 to 11. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord. A cedar is a mighty, mighty tree. The voice of the Lord can tear it into shreds. Romans 8:14, Message translation says, God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and there are places to go. So don't joke with divine guidance in 2025. Isaiah 58 verses 6 to 14. It says one of the things we benefit when you fast is that God will guide you. We're going to start fasting on 3rd of January. We're going to fast for 2 weeks. And during that period, God will be giving us divine instructions, divine guidance. He will be guiding you. Hey, don't go that way. No, don't send that mail now. Send it later. Oh, now, get up. Send the email now. Now, send the message to so-and-so person. And as you do that, you will see breakthroughs. As you do that, you will see God in action. As you do that, you will see preservation in the mighty name of Jesus. Instruction number one, embrace godliness. Embrace godliness. Embrace godliness in 2025. Embrace godliness. Proverbs 9:10-11. Proverbs 9:10-11. 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Verse 11, for by me, everybody read this with me. 1, 2, go. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. I've been bothered by how many people have died this year that were quite close to me. People I knew, ministers alone, just pastors, at least about 3 to 5. 2 in the U.S. that I used to follow online, or 3. A dearly beloved woman of God, a Nigerian, but an apostle in the U.S. just passed on Christmas Day. And I got to know 2 days after. We were quite close. Fire! Ah! I felt a personal loss. I said, Lord, why? What's going on? What's going on? A professor in UI who was also a minister, fine gentleman, just complained of breathing. He couldn't breathe well, and that's it. Kilo day, what's going on? You know, when things like that are happening around you, then the next thought is, we don't know who is going next. But in the mighty name of Jesus, we are not going anywhere yet. Amen? Anyone living under the fear of untimely death, I curse that fear now in the name of Jesus. You will live, you will not die. Your parents will live, they will not die. Your siblings will live, they will not die. In the mighty name of Jesus. God said, for by me, how? By the fear of the Lord, your days shall be multiplied and the years of your life shall be increased. Let me give you more scriptures. Write them down quickly because I want to close now. Genesis 39 verse 9. Genesis 39 verse 9. Proverbs 31 verse 4. Proverbs 31 verse 4. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Then 1 Timothy 4, 8 and 1 Timothy 6, 6. 1 Timothy 4, 8. 1 Timothy 6, 6. You can display that. 1 Timothy 4, 8. Quickly, it says, godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Embrace godliness, because it is profitable. It is profitable to serve God. It's profitable to be with Jesus. I beg you, stop clubbing. Get intimate with Jesus in 2025. Give me 1 Timothy 6, 6. Quickly, 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Don't look at those who are making millions that cannot be explained around you. You do your work. Keep making your thousands. God will keep increasing you. Don't join them to do internet fraud. I beg you. Don't join any scammer to scam people. It's a sweet, bitter experience. It will be sweet when they are scamming. But in the end, it will be bitter, both in their mouth and in their belly. The one that scammed me, that calls himself a pastor, he's going to jail in 2025. He's going to jail. He will pay my money and he will go to jail to serve as a scapegoat to his other friends who are scammers. You don't scam in the name of the Lord. If you want to be a scammer, be a scammer. But to scam in the name of God. Kai. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment in Yoruba is called itelorun. Itelorun. Itelorun babaiwa. You have just 3 pairs of shoes. Clean them up. Polish them. Spray them. Keep wearing them. A time is coming, you are going to have more pairs than you can wear. What is not enough today will be more than enough tomorrow. Don't go and steal because you want to look good. Number 2 point, make prayer and consecration a lifestyle. How do we position ourselves for what is going to do in for what God is going to do in 2025? Make prayer and consecration a lifestyle. Psalm 32 and verse 7 on the screen. Psalm 32 and verse 7. God said, I will teach you. Psalm 32 and verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah, thou art my hiding place. Make God your hiding place in the place of prayer. I know what I'm saying. In 2025, as the breakthroughs are coming, challenges are coming too. Make God your hiding place. Those of you listening to me from overseas, make God your hiding place. Don't let abroad take away your spirituality. The moment some people cross over the ocean like this, they backslide. Make God your hiding place. Satan eats people raw without salt when they are prayerless. They said the average prayer life of some pastors in America is 5 minutes. Prayer life. Daily. 5 minutes. Oh, Father, we thank you. Oh, glory to God. I just love you, Lord. We just love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Satan does not have respect for that. He will beat. Pray. Pray until that guy doesn't want to have anything to do with you. Pray until the devil calls you a devil. That devil is praying again. Let's get out from this. Pray until he doesn't want to come near your area because you are there. Queen Mary of Scotland ran away from town because of the prayer of John Knox. She said, I'm more afraid of the prayer of one man, John Knox, than the entire armies of Elizabeth. Prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes situations. Make prayer your lifestyle. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 12. Deuteronomy 33 verse 12. Write it down. Deuteronomy 33, 12. May God cover you. He said, and of Benjamin he said. What did he say about Benjamin? The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. You will dwell in safety by God. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. The Lord will cover you all the day long. And he shall dwell between his shoulders. God will carry you like this throughout 2025. There will be storm on the left, tempest on the right, wind everywhere, but God will carry you. I mean, God will cover you. I wish you could see the picture I'm seeing in the realm of the spirit. It will cover your head. It will protect your mental health. This is a scripture for mental health. All kinds of depression coming against young people these days. Panic attacks, anxiety disorder, schizophrenia, all of those things. God will cover you. Use this scripture. Use it. Use it. It's good for you. Deuteronomy 33. Sorry. Yeah, that's where I am. And verse 12. Psalm 116 and verse 2. In the New Living Translation, it says, because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Because God bends down to listen. Listen to what? He listens to prayer. Will you pray? He said, I will pray as long as I have breath. Matthew 26 and verse 41. Jesus said to them, pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said, but pray so that you don't enter into temptation. There are temptations in that year, but you will not enter into any of them. He said, pray. Pray so that you don't do badly. One translation says, pray so you don't do badly. Pray so that you don't surprise yourself. When a fish wants to rot, you know a fish, a fish rots from the head. When your prayer life is bad, that rot starts from there. That's why as a servant of God, I don't joke with my prayer life. I must pray for myself, for my family, for you guys. But you also need to pray for yourselves and pray for me too. Because I need your prayers. Mark 1:35, Jesus got up very early before day. He went to a solitary place and there prayed. If Jesus prayed, why will you not pray? He had all the anointing, yet he prayed. How much anointing do you have? And you're not praying. Nobody in this church should not pray. I should not have anybody that is praying less than 1 hour in the Holy Ghost every day. Ah, Pastor, you want to kill me? Start. Let's see whether you die along the line. The person died, though. What killed the person? Prayer. No, not a member of this church. And has God not been faithful? Do it. You can start with 30 minutes. It will look like 30 hours. But don't worry. After a point, you will start enjoying it. You will move from that 1 hour to 2 hours. One day you move to 3 hours. You surprise yourself. There was a day I wanted to pray 1 hour. I ended up praying 5 hours. Start communing with God. Give yourself. Consecrate yourself. Read the word of God. Consume the word of God until the word begins to consume you. Luke 18 verse 1. Jesus spoke a parable unto this end, saying that men ought always to pray and not to faint. James 5, 16 to 18. Let's read that one quickly as I close. James 5, 16 to 18. Quickly. James 5, 16 to 18. Emmanuel read that this morning when he was leading prayer. 1, 2, go. Let's read, please. Confess your fault to one another and pray for. And do what? Not gossip. Less gossip. Don't let us have gossip in this church. Let us have less gossip. I don't want to hear anything about anybody. Let us pray. Pray for one another. That you may be healed. Let's go. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How about 150 righteous people? If one person's prayer can avail much, how about the prayer of 150 righteous people? Next verse. Elijah was a man subject to like passions. What does that mean? He was hungry like we are hungry now. He was angry like we get angry once in a while. He felt all the feelings that we feel. He was a man of like passions like as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years. Next verse. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth. Can one person say, if this government keeps doing this nonsense, I decree as a man of God, no rain for 1 year in Nigeria. And it does not rain. Don't you think the government will go to that man of God and say, please, Oga, we beg you, we will change. Whatever you ask us to do, we'll do. One person, Elijah, he said there should be no rain, not in Israel, in the whole of the earth. No rain in Nigeria because of the prayer of Elijah. Go back to the previous verse 17. Please, let them see. So it's not like I'm coming up with something strange. That it might not rain. And it rained not on Israel. On the earth. The whole world. For a space of 3.5 years. Not 1 year. Not 2, 3.5. Man, he controlled the climate by prayer. Then he prayed again. Okay, now, Lord. Yeah, I want rain now. And he prayed again. It's like when you mute and then you unmute. Then he decided to unmute rain. Grrr, everywhere by prayer. If you can't control the whole world, you should be able to control certain things around your life. Am I right? By prayer. All those nonsensical dreams you have. Some snake chasing you in the dream. You are getting married in the dream. You are eating in the dream. Somebody's oppressing you, pressing you down. Change it by prayer. Before you go to bed in the night, do 1 hour. Kula baraka, yazia kata, roba zikata. Let the witches know somebody's praying. They say, leave that witch, oh, let's go. Let's go to our meeting. Leave him, oh, let him sleep. Number 3. In addition to prayer, number 2, I said consecration. Live a holy lifestyle. Prayer and consecration. And I also added, consume the word of God until the word consumes you. So that what comes out of you will be the word of God. The last point, number 3, don't break fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. Don't break fellowship. I'm done. Hebrews 10:25 on the screen. Hebrews 10:25. Don't break fellowship. Those of you that are in the habit of visiting, you are in town, but you don't come to church. What you are losing, only heaven knows. You see, our coming together like this, it's not just good that we see one another, hey, what's up, what's up? There is power in the local church. I experienced it firsthand during my dark days last year. My best times last year were the times I spent in church. Somebody singing, ministering to Oriofe took the mic one day and she was leading praise worship. I don't know even if she remembers. At some point, I think she just took off her shoes. She was sweating. And she was taking a particular song. I can't remember that song now. It was like warfare. Like, look, Satan, I felt like somebody was ministering to me. Like she was ministering to me. Like, Satan, you're not going to steal our pastor. She didn't say those words. But those were the things I was hearing. Anyone that the devil can separate easily, he can destroy easily. I don't like the songs they sing. I don't know the lyrics. For who's talking? What we are benefiting is more than whether you know the songs or you don't like the songs. There is a ministry. There's something called the supply of the Spirit, which you only get in a congregation like this. Don't break fellowship. My coming, I never miss church. Only once. Last year. Only once. And that day I was really sick. I got up in the morning to get ready for church. I knew I was sick, but I still wanted to come until I staggered in my house. On my way to the bathroom, I staggered. I said, no, it won't be good for me to stagger on the altar. So I said, family, you go to church. Let me stay at home. And then after service, the leaders came to see me at home. That was my only day out of church. And that must be first Sunday, June last year. You see all those Monday afternoon prayer? I will come in like this to pray. They were my, that was my safe haven. Coupled with the Friday evening prayer at the ICC, 5:30 to 7:30, praying in the Holy Ghost, it was my safe haven. Monday afternoon, there's a guy called Peter Cash. I don't know if he's in church this morning. Peter will come in. He will come in because he works in a gym. I think he's an instructor. He will come at about 3:30, thereabout, 3:34, although I want everybody to come early. And he will go to that corner where that black pad is. He will kneel down and bow his head. I'll be praying. I'll be looking at the boy. Ah, now, I like this. Oh. In my mind, that was it was a mental picture for me. That when I come to the house of the Lord, to the presence of the Lord, and I bow like this in prayer, I feel God putting his hand on my head, protecting my mental health. You don't know what you are missing. These days, young people say, I don't do church. I'm a Christian. American people. I'm a Christian, but I don't do church. Well, something is doing you. Along, you don't know. Something is doing you. I just prefer to be online. I'm a Christian. I like to watch online. How many churches do you want to belong to? You watch this online, you go to this online. This one will say something, so say something different. At the end of the day, you are confused. If God said, don't forsake the assembling together of ourselves, then don't forsake it. If God says something is good, do it. If he says something is bad, run away from it. Let's read together. Hebrews 10:25. Good. Everybody want to go? Forsaking the assembly of ourselves together? Is that what he said? What did he say? Not forsaking. 1:2. Let's read it now. 1:2, go. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, some people. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What does it mean to exhort? To exhort means to draw near to God. So, as somebody is leading prayer, the person is giving us exhortation. Somebody is leading worship, exhortation. The word of God, exhortation. We're exhorting one another. I'm exhorting you, you're exhorting me. You know, just your being in church alone, you don't know that your presence alone is encouraging to some people. Somebody can just see you and have a good day. Ah, now, wow, I like this guy. Look, he's looking very nice. And momentarily, they forget their own challenges. And they come to church and they listen to God's word. And it's as if they drop those baggages at home. And you're not going home to pick them up in the name of Jesus. Don't break fellowship. Finally, on that point, those of you that watch Nat Geo Wild, you know Nat Geo Wild? I'm taking your time a little bit. When a lion comes to a herd of cattle, and the lion wants to fight, he will look at the one that is separated. That for some reason has strayed away from the fold. He will go after that one. If he comes into the herd, they will finish him. He's a lion. He's the strongest animal. They will gore him to death. Because imagine 20 cows on only one lion. How many do you want to kill? As you hold one, 16 others are goring your tummy, your bum, your head. The intestines will be out. So even the lion is very smart. We look at the one that is separated. We go after that one. And then destroy that one. That's what happens when people are separated from church. A man, the Bible says, as a bird that wanders out of his nest, so is a man that wanders out of his place. When a bird remains in the nest, it's safe. This is our own nest. It's safe. But the moment it flies out there, the hunter will see it and shoot. Pwah! Don't wander out of your place. When you leave this country, when you leave this state, when you leave this city, let the Holy Spirit lead you to another church where we have a branch. If we don't have a branch, let him lead you to a spirit-filled church where you will keep growing. I'm not saying it has to be stone church every time. If there's a stone church there, go there. If there is none, go to a Bible-believing church and then start. Trust God to start a stone church there. You too can start. You are a missionary. Can I have an amen? Say amen. Say amen very well. The last scripture, Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. Protocol, come for this. Psalm 133, verses 1 to 3. You must not break fellowship. Say why you must not break fellowship. Read, everybody, want to go. Behold, How good and how pleasant. It is good and pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's good and pleasant when we are together like this. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the head, that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. Oil from the head.
Oil on my head.
And then down the beard, and then down the skirt, because it flows from the top of Aaron, right? Now, verse 3. Now, this is where I'm going. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Zion is the church. There is a dew that descends in the church. You can't afford to break fellowship. There is a dew that descends upon the mountains of Zion. For there, somebody say there. Ni be gongon. That's Yoruba. Ni Ibadan. There, the Lord Yahweh commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Why can't God command the blessing anywhere? He chose Zion. God chose Zion. Never break fellowship. Sunday service. Thursday Bible study. If you're on campus in UI, Friday, right? In Poly, they will choose the date. FSS will choose the date. School of Nursing, because we are going to all those places again this year. School of Nursing is Tuesday already. Go to your midweek service. If you don't belong to any of those campuses, maybe you are a worker or you are a corper, or whatever you do, for some reason you are not in school, come here every Thursday for Bible study. We are exhorting one another. And there, God commands the blessing, number one. Number two, God commands life forevermore. The church is a living organism. When you come to church, life is ministered to you. When you're in the right church, life, not every church, life is ministered to you. There are places where death is ministered. Yeah, I know. When people are about to die and they make it to church, they should leave. And in the name of Jesus, every sick person that comes to our church in 2025 will leave. Amen. They will get healed instantly. Amen? Amen? Thank you, Father. Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed today? I've delivered to you what God put in my heart for 2025.